my learning is it's not about should we do video, should we do podcasting, should we do whatever. It's like, what is your audience doing and are they using specific channels? And if they're not, then you might be able to win there.
I'm Jonathan Gandolf and welcome to the Content Cocktail Hour, powered by The Juice. Our mission is to squeeze out the deepest secrets of B2B marketing professionals to help you push your brand to the forefront of the industry. Let's raise the glass. I'm thrilled to be joined by Ali Schwenke, founder at SimpleStrat today to discuss all things marketing. We're going to be talking about going back to the basics in marketing, and we at The Juice have become big fans of her on and how they've kind of seamlessly woven together their own brand with some of the sub-brands they've created and how they're also helping their clients. So it's going to be a fun conversation. Ali's one of our favorite people. So Ali, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to jump in.
Of course. Ali, as I mentioned, we're big fans of SimpleStrat. Love the content you create. We've been partners for a while now, and you might not even know this, but you're somebody we point out a lot to prospects and customers of people who are doing content really well. But maybe before we dive into that, I'd love in your own words, share a little bit about your background and a little bit about SimpleStrat in your own words.
Sure. Well, for people that don't know who we are or even who our company is, if you go to YouTube and type in HubSpot, you typically are going to find the HubSpot channel, but then you're going to find another third-party channel that is the unofficial channel for HubSpot tutorials, and that's HubSpot Hacks. That's run by myself and my team. You'll see myself, Tyler, and Will from our team, and we'll soon have others on that channel as well. But we're a sales and marketing firm that helps people get more out of HubSpot. And that's whether it's strategy, marketing strategy, HubSpot build, customization, all things. People call us like the HubSpot experts, HubSpot. I'm the HubSpot queen. I don't think that's true. I actually think like there's a lot more people on my team that are way smarter than me. And then execution on the platform. So my background is content creation. And obviously like that kind of that shows, but we just love helping companies get more out of it every single day. And content is the way that you go to market now. And it's the way people find you. It's the way they earn trust. And my goal is every conversation that we have with someone, whether potential or current or trying to re-engage, we have a podcast episode, a YouTube video, or a blog we can point them to as a way to start the conversation.
I love that. The cliche, content is king. It's nice to be joined by the HubSpot queen today.
Queen, yeah.
Yes, that's awesome.
That's true.
Well, Ali, this is the content cocktail hour. So as our listeners know, we always like asking our guests, what are they enjoying drinking nowadays?
Depending on the time of day, I'm a big fan of craft cocktails. And a friend of mine, I am a fellow soccer mom. And for anybody who's listening, who's a youth sports parent, soccer moms get together and, you know, to have a good time when the kids are they're off doing their practice. So big fans of like a good cosmopolitan or even like an espresso martini. But then during the day, I'm a big fan of like flavored water. I've been into the flavored water kick, not sparkling, but just a little bit of like a water jug with fruit in it or something like that.
I love that. Maybe I need to become a soccer mom. That sounds kind of nice. Espresso martini while sitting outside.
I mean, I'm telling you what, Instagram reels have figured us out because one other mom, Crystal is her name. She and I just keep DMing back and forth these like cocktail recipes that come across our Instagram feed. And now we have to have a party because we've got like 10 that we need to try.
That's all your algorithm is now. I did see a cool application of AI. If somebody took a picture of their bar cart and asked for cocktail recipes and they got some back. So there you go.
I did buy my first shaker. So I did try my first mudslide and it was delicious and horribly ugly. So I will not be hired anytime soon to create content for people.
All right. Well, we've hit the AI topic already via the cocktail conversation. So I like that. Why don't we jump into the rest of the conversation? You mentioned HubSpot Hacks. And I mean, that's pretty powerful to when you search YouTube for HubSpot for your brand to be right there. We talk to a lot of consultancies, agencies, services, businesses. And I was sharing with you, so often we hear like they talk about their own brand and like they're not giving it the attention that it deserves or that they know is of the quality that they deliver to their clients. But yet you all seem to really invest in your own brand and your own content. Was that a very intentional decision or is that just something that's always kind of naturally been a part of what you've done and it's just organically grown over time?
We definitely have had that belief from day one. I think it came from both my background and my co-founder's background of like being in positions where we're asked to sell or consult on something that we personally weren't doing. And so that just felt like a miss. Like, I'm going to try and sell blogging to you as an agency, but I'm going to be like, just kidding. We work on referrals, right? I felt like that was not congruent. But we started with content from day one. However, the HubSpot Hacks opportunity came because we did have video capabilities. No one else is really doing that. And that, at the time, was the way for us to win. And I think that's the biggest thing that is my learning is It's not about, should we do video? Should we do podcasting? Should we do whatever? It's like, what is your audience doing? And are they using specific channels? And if they're not, then you might be able to win there. Or like what we found was HubSpot Hacks existed because there was other people doing HubSpot tutorials, but they were kind of long-winded and it was like your personal story for 4 minutes before jumping in. And we just figured that like, we're impatient, other people are too. Let's just cut to the chase and make it super simple. And we're gonna stay in that lane. And we've stayed in that lane for 4 years and we don't talk about anything else besides HubSpot.
How tempting is it to jump outside of that lane? And have you before and like been very quickly redirected into your lane, or what has that process been like?
Yeah, we're typically really good at watching other people screw up and learning from their mistakes. I mean, I'm not gonna say that we don't screw up. So we use a tool called TubeBuddy, and we've actually watched a lot of other brands. So for instance, one of the channels we were watching that was doing HubSpot tutorials, we saw them start at a HubSpot on a podcasting layer on top of that. And so they started bringing in experts, which I think is a good thing for probably their brand to connect. But the audience just saw them going from talking about HubSpot features to all of a sudden talking about like product-led growth and all these other things. And like, those things are important, but those are strategy. So if you have HubSpot admins watching your channel and all of a sudden you're like superfluously, you know, talking about like go-to-market strategy, you've now watered down your audience. So we just made that decision that if as a promise, as a channel, we said, you're going to get this, we're going to deliver this, and we're going to do it day in and day out, which seems boring to the content creators, to the audience. It's like, finally, someone that stays in a lane and I can know what to expect every single time I come to their channel.
Anybody who's not following Allie, I'd strongly encourage you to, because the other thing that you do that I love is you've shared like blooper reels before, and you kind of share like how you're learning along the way yourself. I'm super curious, did you have a background in video before you started just kind of hitting record and figuring it out along the way? And then you mentioned you found that's your lane and it works well. How have you like continued to grow and evolve your own skill set as it pertains to video as it's continued to work for you?
My background is a lot of creative development. So I did actually have a photography studio prior to starting SimpleStrat. That was my first, I guess, entrepreneurial kind of thing out of college. And I didn't do any video work then, but I did do a lot of work when I got my first marketing job in creating testimonials, which at the time I hired a company to do it, but I knew what story I wanted. So I knew like I'd interview someone and I kind of arranged the track so that I'd end up with the case story that I wanted. But then also just like, honestly, kind of like what you're doing here, I produced a podcast for the first time, I mean, probably a decade ago or more, and I was the editor for that. And so I just learned on the job all these skills that I needed to produce good content. When do you want to stop watching? Like with our team, I always say, what is the first minute when you're watching a video that you want to pick up your phone and check to see if there's a message? There needs to be a transition there. There needs to be something changing. Mm. That's boring, whatever. Mm. So the more I consumed that, and once we brought video in, this was probably 2017. We hired a video editor and Jonathan and I was like, this is the year of video. We've been saying it. This is the year of video. I think I sold one video that year and we paid a full-time videographer. So it was really kind of this like, how do I make sure I make this resource pay off? And so we kind of put him to work and it was just making the best of a situation where we were like, nah, what do we do with this? And it just turned into this thing that if we'd have sat down and said, we're going to get X number of subscribers by X date, we wouldn't have done it. Yeah. I think it was just like, wow, this is interesting. Let's see where it's going. Let's just keep pulling the thread. And then once the thread gets out far enough, can we build any predictability around this? And that's kind of what we've done so far.
That's awesome. And how have you balanced, because you've got SimpleStrat and then you've got the HubSpot Hacks, which has become its own like really popular brand. And you also, I'm going to tell myself here a little bit, but your personal brand, big fan of, I find myself like fighting the urge to like every single one of your tweets because I don't want to be too creepy. But how do you balance creating video and growing each of those brands independently, but so that they are also helping each other at the same time?
So there's kind of two beliefs that I have. And one is core to, I think any good business today that is in, especially the marketing space, that's really crowded, I think it's going to have a founder-led movement behind it. Because let's say if right now I launched a technology around HubSpot, I've got a community that's already bought into us, bought into our trust. And so I think that that positions us really well to have any sort of like new launch that we have in place there. So I'm actively building that brand, but also I'm using it as a platform to kind of test ideas. A lot of my personal brand stuff is quite frankly like experimentation to take back and say, it feels really weird to say this, but I feel like I'm in a place in my career, probably you too, where I used to look to people to say what's happening and and who's at the forefront. And I look around and I was like, okay, no one else is doing this. I seem to be the first one or one of the first ones. Mm-hmm. So I'm using my personal brand like that. But back to that, keeping things in the lane, SimpleStrat exists to help people get more out of HubSpot. That is where we exist. And that company is very, very specific. HubSpot Hacks, same thing. But as people are using HubSpot and they're asking us questions like, how do you design a good landing page? Well, Jonathan, right now, where does that go? Does it go on HubSpot Hacks? Does it go on our blog? Mm-hmm. So now that we've got some of these conversations going, Marketing Deconstructed made enough sense to start talking about marketing strategy. Because even if you don't use HubSpot, you need to know how to have a good landing page. So that's kind of where the evolution of that channel came up. And back to what I said earlier, every single piece of content needs to be something that after a meeting, if someone asked about XYZ, the five types of email you should send, you know what? We've got a video over on YouTube. Why don't you go subscribe there? Oh, and we actually have a worksheet about that. So it's just this, like, there's always something to keep you engaged with us versus, can I call you in 2 weeks?
Yeah. I talk about the network effects of content all the time. And I think that's exactly what you just described. I hate using the word because it's kind of cliche, but it's almost this journey, right? Like, it's not a transactional, somebody's going to sit down and read a blog post and like be done. I think so much of what good content is it starts this journey of learning or exploring or curiosity. And the more you can connect those pieces, the better.
Yeah. So separating those all out right now requires a good amount of, I mean, there's a lot of planning. Let's be honest, like you have to be really good at the kind of boring stuff. But I think for Marketing Deconstructed specifically, like by the time this comes out, that'll probably be live. But that new podcast is actually a very different format. So there's 2 10-minute episodes that are short about a specific topic. And then the guests are actually the bonus episode. Again, we're holding true to our value proposition of short, practical stuff I can implement today, not really vague, where the market's going, what we're thinking about with AI. Like if you want that kind of conversation, awesome. Go listen to HubSpot's Against the Grain with Kip. Like, that's awesome. The marketer in the trenches needs to know, okay, I need to improve this email open rate. Well, like, what do I do? Right?
It's incredible. This will be our 9th or 10th episode of relaunching the Content Cocktail Hour. And this has just been such a theme of good B2B content is so, like, it's tactical. It's supposed to be helpful. I think it's so easy for marketers, myself included. I've been guilty of this in my past to, like, talk about whatever the trending, like, very like sexy thought leadership topic is of the time, that you know, the flavor of the week, and you'll probably get good LinkedIn interaction. You know, if you're creating B2B content, so many times people are engaging with B2B content because they want to be better at their job, or they've got a very acute pain point they are like actively in the middle of on a different monitor, like trying to solve. They don't want to know what does AI mean for the future of content marketing. They want to know, how do I build this email campaign, right? Like they are really looking for that very acute kind of solution in that moment. You mentioned Marketing Deconstructed. So this is kind of like another exploration for you. I'm curious, based on what you said earlier, of like you kept doubling down on video because it was working. When you launch something new like Marketing Deconstructed, how quickly do you know if that's something you should continue to invest in, and how are you measuring the success or the decision to say, like, yes, this is working, we're going to keep doing it, or, you know what, that was an experiment, it didn't work, we're going to go back to video and only exclusively video on what we're doing well there?
Yeah, well, the interesting thing about Marketing Deconstructed, at least at this point in time, is it is both a YouTube channel and a podcast. So the goal is to be able to talk about something within the podcast. So let's say, for example, one of the podcast episodes, we talk about what makes a good podcast. And we've got a gentleman who has done tons and tons of audits on what makes a good podcast. And spoiler alert, it has nothing to do with your microphone, people, literally nothing. But we talk about the building blocks. And so actually the episodes prior to that talk about how to get more leads from your podcast. They talk about how to find podcast guests. And then the YouTube video is actually like how to do it inside of HubSpot and the system. So we're taking something that's more audible step by step and then actually showing you. So it's the listen, hear me, or it's the show and tell sort of situation, where a lot of podcasters don't have a show situation. They have more of just a tell. And when they move to like a tell, they just kind of publish like the recording like we're talking right now. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing more than the talking head. So the goal is to kind of rope that together. But to go back to your previous question, to know if something's working for me, I've got a couple of North Star metrics that I'm looking at. Subscriber growth, you know, newsletter growth. But at the same time, who is willing to share the content? If I send it out and I say, would you mind sharing this with your network, and they don't, that's an instant like, I'm not sure about that. But I've been testing a message to respond to people that register for our webinars. And they say, hey, looking forward to your webinar. See you on Wednesday, whatever. And I'll respond and I'll say, did you know we had this new YouTube channel? And my response yesterday was, awesome, I've already watched all the videos, when's the next one? So that gives me some good insight as to, okay, great. I think the other thing, and this is my last tip here, I always ask in email, in LinkedIn messages, like, what video ideas do you have for me? What podcast ideas do you have for me? And when people give you an idea and you act on it and then you go back and tag them, they're like, this is absurd. Nobody usually listens to me. So if you want to create like a community effect, like that right there is killer.
That's awesome. I love the podcast pairing with the video and like the actual like, and here's how to do it. That's really smart. And I also think the nugget of judging success by like just asking your network to share, it reminds me, Jay Akunzo has talked about people like replying to his newsletter, just being hey, this is really good newsletter, whatever. And you know, it's, yes, you can technically measure a reply rate, but it's not about measuring it. It's just about like feeling that and like that very like anecdotal, like raw reaction to something, I think is for the most part immeasurable, but very, very impactful.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe beneath kind of a thread beneath all of this is you're creating content for a services business. You and I've talked a little bit about like how much of B2B content out there is, you know, not for services businesses. How big of a difference is that? Is it the same? Is it different? How do you all approach that? And how should maybe others who are listening to this think about approaching content from one way or the other?
Yeah, if you sell services, I think the hardest part about being a marketer today is if you go try to get insight on something. So how to run an email campaign, how to do a webinar, whatever, you're going to find advice from brands that are written to market products. You and I were talking about, like, if you go into Apollo, which I love Apollo, if you go to their one of their webinars on how to do cold outreach, how to do lead gen, whatever, those are typically going to be problem-based, product-based sequences. Well, when you buy services, you buy from a person, you buy based on trust, and you're also trying to figure out how to build this relationship out of thin air. And so that's where your content comes in, and that's where following on LinkedIn is important. That's where someone can hear you on a podcast like this is important. That's where webinars are important. And yet, I find so many times in the services industry, they want, in terms of like marketing and sales teams, want to, or even founders, want to microwave that. And so, I don't know about you, but I will hear like, we've been following your channel for a year. I've been liking all of your stuff. We now have budget. And so, I'm seeing an increase in what I would call LinkedIn and YouTube and podcast lurking activity. They don't subscribe to the podcast. They don't subscribe to the channel. They just, every time you post something, they go consume it and they just wait for you to post it again. So it's hard to measure that. But services companies, that's what we're doing. We're trying to understand, do I trust Jonathan enough to follow his content? Do I trust him enough now to seek his advice? And now do I trust him enough to know that if I get on a call with him, he's not going to try and sell me something. He will actually help me versus sell me.
That's awesome. The dark social lurking, I think that's such a lot of times we call it, you know, dark social, the dark funnel, but it is just a lot of lurking activity. And as long as you're being consistent in production, I think, yeah, you have to have the trust that it'll eventually kind of trigger that moment when they do reach out. And I think the trust, you building on trust, I think is, I would suspect that's partially why video has been so successful for you all as well, is because I think video inherently builds maybe more trust than text content, for instance.
Yeah, there's a book that I tend to share when it comes to this sort of trust building thing, and it's called Oversubscribed, and they talk about building relationships in the 7-11-4 rule, I think is how he talks about it. But he talks about 7 hours of engagement being the first kind of hurdle at building a relationship. And so you think about like when you go to a conference, if you and I spend 7 hours together across different conference meetups and whatever, like we now have this much different relationship than we did, even if we had 7 emails back and forth. But he talks about 7 hours over 11 different touch points and 4 different channels. So that might be YouTube, it might be email, it might be Twitter. And they're like the whole book itself, like I kind of just gave you the synopsis. He talks a lot about using that to like tease out product launches and that kind of thing. But what I take away from it is, when you can consume 7 hours of content on YouTube, you now believe that I have your best interests in mind. And you know, at least in today's day and age, that I am not AI yet. So the blooper reels are very important to show that we are humans. We are not just setting up a teleprompter. Like we keep all of our mess ups in our videos because it has to be that way for you to know that we're just people sharing what's working.
Yeah. That's awesome. AI created bloopers. That will eventually be a thing. But for now, I like the being able to show that you are human via blooper reels, I think is good for everybody involved.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. The last question we always like asking all of our guests, what is one unpopular opinion you have in either the marketing or content space?
My unpopular opinion goes, I think, along with this conversation on the fact that not everybody needs a podcast channel or a podcast or YouTube channel. What you need is to create good content and do a much better job. And I'm not going to even say promoting it. I think people think about, they talk about distributing it, promoting it. But things that I see is your sales team's not even using it in follow-ups. If you have a podcast episode, like if we have a very good conversation today about the importance of trust, which we have, my team should be able to know that this exists. So it's like, how do you catalog it so that it can get used across the organization in a way that's not just, let's just throw it on LinkedIn? Because I think that's kind of our distribution method is carousel, long form post, video snippet. And then that's what we call distribution, but that's not quite how it works.
That's so good. It goes so perfectly with your theme of just like doubling down on video because that was working for you and then layering on like different ways to connect video into everything you're doing across different initiatives. I think that's so smart. If people want to learn more about Simple Strat or Marketing Deconstructed or HubSpot Hacks or Ally, what is the best way for them to learn more about you and everything you're working on?
Sure. Well, if you want to go to HubSpot Hacks and subscribe over on YouTube, that's going to be a place, Marketing Deconstructed under the same name, subscribe there. And then over at simplestrat.com, that's simple and S-T-R-A-T.com, we've got a resource library and monthly webinars. We've got a whole bunch of freebies. That would probably be a good place to start. If you don't already follow us on The Juice, if you're a Juice listener or a Juice follower, definitely visit us over there.
Love that. We will have all of those links in the show notes. Ally, thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We will see you next time, same place. Cheers. Thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour powered by The Juice. If you want to see more episodes or more resources curated for your role, join us on app.thejuicehq.com. See you next time. Same time, same place. Cheers.